Five, four, three, two, bam! Welcome to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast. This is Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater, with me, as always, Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Hello, Fresno.
And we are back to talk about all things Fresno.
Monthly look at Fresno culture.
Yeah, Fresno pop culture and politics and music, movies, whatever else is going on in Fresno. So we will just jump right in. It is July.
Let's get it.
It's July. So
this is the Fresno's wheelhouse month. The hottest month of the year.
Yeah,
this defines us this month.
It's so crazy, and I fell into this trap, you know, where I've lived in the valley for my entire life. I you would think that I know that it's hot. But
yeah.
But every time it happens, it's like some new thing, you know? And everyone I talk to is like, man, this heat. And it's like, yes, this heat that we have all been living with for however many years.
Forever.
And yet every time it comes around, it's like some brand new thing is happening. I will say it is pretty fucking miserable, though.
Eh, it's all right. I'm all right.
You're cool with it?
No, man, you got it. You can send your mind, bro. Like I said, I've said before, we always throw this in there, especially when it's heat related. But it takes me like one heat wave.
Right.
And then I'm all right. Then I'm like, okay, this is it. And then about September is when I start losing. Okay.
Come on now.
I'm done.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have this. It's been nicer the last couple of days than it has been. You know, like today there was actually a breeze, and the evenings have been really nice. So
the bee recently put up. It did a nice infographic on historic Fresno heat and stuff.
Right,
I was surprised to see how many, the worst days were way earlier in the 1900s. You know, like 118 or 115.
Right.
And I would figure the past 10 years would be all where all the records were.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, I remember distinctly some really terrible, terrible heat. But you know, maybe I was completely wrong.
Some of the bad ones were when I'm sure there wasn't much air conditioning, if any.
Right. Right. There were probably all sorts of old people just dropping off. terrible. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it. We'll be better for it. Yeah. It was really funny. So Travelocity recently did a survey of best summer vacation spots, and Fresno was on the list.
I saw that. What was that about?
It was like sixth or something. Well, you know, you look into it and you see like the criteria they use, and it's like, well, it totally makes sense, you know. So like one of it, like price is definitely one of like hotels and stuff. So it's, you know, gonna be less expensive. Proximity, so like to national
three national parks and
that kind of thing.
There.
And then one of them was the temperate climate and the lack of rainfall. So like the fact that you know, it's not gonna rain, so you don't have to worry about that. And then we have temperate. And if you think about that just on like if you're someone who's never been to Fresno and you're just doing some research and, you know, plugging it totally looks like that, you know, because then I went back and I looked at when I read this, I looked at like the average temperatures. Well, you know, what they do with these average temperatures is they average the high daytime and high nighttime temperatures. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at it like in that context, Fresno for July or June when this came out, end of July, I think, pretty reasonable. It's like 97, 95, 97,
something like that.
Which would be reasonable, but what they're doing is they're averaging out the high and the low. So like, you know, that you know, it might be 60, you know, 60 something at night, but 101 in the day,
right.
You know, and so that kind of averages out. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's nice. See, another way to think about it.
Right. Okay. And then, you know, yes, there's no rain. For the last 4 years, you know, so
we did this year. So
yeah. Anyway,
but see that all those weather, you know, regardless of what the topic is, when it's an outside source doing one of those top 10, and usually we're on the bad end,
right.
I always dismiss those, so I can't. I want to tout this one, and like, and when I see one that's positive, I have to. I'm like, well, I don't give credence to the bad ones, so I guess I can't give credence to the good ones either.
You should not. No. Yeah. All right. What else is besides being miserable in our heatness?
Well, there was a fun exchange of fun. I guess I maybe exposed a couple councilmen to where their heads were at. Something happened recently.
Did you get to see this?
Not live, but now I've researched a little bit and I see it. In front of me.
So, if you had to guess which council members we would be talking about, and let's say that these council members maybe sort of have a disdain for members of their constituency. Maybe think that they're some members of their constituency are pansies or something like that.
Yeah, just to pull a reference out of nowhere.
Right. Who would you think that those and there's more than one, actually. Yeah, so this happened.
Could it be the two most talked about on this show?
Right, yeah. So this happened a couple weeks ago, at a council meeting. I think it was actually like a special council meeting. I can't remember if it was an actual council meeting or it was one of the budget meetings. But as part of the budget, I think it was Esmeralda had proposed using a certain amount of dollars of the city's budget for affordable housing.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people showed up to talk about the need for affordable housing. Some of these people were people who needed affordable housing. And for the first sort of comment coming out of the Twitter world was a picture from the diocese, and pretty much all of the city council members were on their phones, just looking at their phones while people from the audience were talking. Yeah. And so, you know, there was a picture and it said, hey, you know, like, guys, hello, people are here to talk about this thing that's important
to
your job.
This is an actual thing.
So then Clint Olivier started texting out some kind of terrible things about people, you know, about something. I can't remember the exact tweets, but it was just the tone of the tweet was very dismissive of someone who, you know, was a constituent. I mean, these are people that he, as council members, they are there to represent, and it was completely dismissive and really just. And then it set off this whole back and forth between a couple of people. And at some point, Steve Brandow had to get into the game because, of course, Brandow. And someone actually, you know, said, I think the comment was a pretty rational comment. It was something to the effect of, like, you know, it's sad that Steve Brandow and Clint Olivier.
It's embarrassing that Clint Olivier and Steve Brandow don't grasp how affordable living improves quality of life and strengthens local economy.
Okay. And now, which is so that's a to in my like mind, that's a pretty like straightforward comment. It's there. I don't think it's a, you know, okay. And the response,
Brandow. I don't have Olivia's direct response to that, but Brandow's response to that is, "It's okay, Derek. You'll be an adult someday. Stay off drugs."
So I read, what the hell?
Like, that's like a comment from some random 15-year-old in his basement.
Right.
Like, that's not a councilman reply.
Right. I mean, this the whole thing, and there's various, you know, there were several threads that were happening throughout all of this. It just, I mean, it was so childish on the part of the council members to not even, like, realize,
they're not even smart enough to just shut your, don't go on, go on social media and say stuff like that.
I mean, because, I mean, we all know that they think these things about people and, you know, whatever.
You always suspect, but you just like.
Right, to say it out loud. And then, you know, when people call you out on it, you know, which, I mean, in my mind, I didn't feel like any of the people who were, any of the people who were commenting on Twitter were saying anything too terribly outrageous. I mean, essentially they were saying like, hey, guys. You know, you are elected to do a job, so do your job. You know, there are people here who are talking about things, and you should maybe listen to what they're saying. And then, you know, both Clint and Brandow essentially called those people stupid or social justice warriors.
I do like there was quite a bit of replies back to that, you know, backing up. Not backing up Brandow, but you know, good replies to it. They're pointing out that was a wrong thing to say.
Right.
And Clinton Olivier's reply was, "Guys, Steve's a good guy. You should give him another chance. Very thoughtful animal lover."
Really? Is that true? Is that like
I don't know. Let's apparently Clint Olivier knows
he's an animal lover. Yeah, well, if he loved people the way that he loved animals, maybe we would. It's I mean, I thought.
And on something, I mean, an issue like that, affordable housing issue, and this is where they chose to be douchebag.
Right, yeah. It didn't seem to me like it was an amazing amount of money. Well, and the weird thing is also it passed. I think maybe both of them voted no, but the rest of the council voted yes. So it ended up passing anyway. Well, so
at least positive was out of it.
Right.
And then they get to be their douchebag no votes. You see, constituents, I don't like affordable housing, just like you.
Just like you. We don't want these poor people in our neighborhoods, which I think is, you know. That's the way it comes off. Or people that need help at all. I don't know.
That's the whole mindset of they think that, well, I'm working. I'm getting paid. Right. Why aren't you doing it?
Right. Yeah. Well, and that was one of Clint Olivier's things was like something about someone being able-bodied as if that's the prerequisite to get a job. Well, I'm able to do work, so why am I not being hired?
You shouldn't ask for anything.
Right, yeah. And it's like, well, dude, Clint, what have you done? Like, I mean, I guess he was in the Marines, National Guard, something like that, I think.
Wasn't that the previous...
was it? No, I think Clint Olivier too. I think he was actually in the service before he.
There was the one guy that was tearing down his election signs and.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he actually I think he was in the reserves.
Okay.
But I think Clint Olivier did too. But my point being, newsman. We're the same. We're the same.
Joshua D. He says we're the same.
Anyway, that happened. I think everyone should go check that out. And, you know,
if they are appalled. June 23rd, 2016 was when that all went down. If you want to go back on the social medias.
So that was actually
at Clint Olivier and at Steve Brandow.
Yeah. You can just look those up and you can, if you're appalled, send them a message and then they'll tweet back some kind of stuff.
They might reply to you because... I don't want to toot my own social media horn, but Clint Olivier only has 1,483 followers, and Steve Brandow has only 322. So,
oh, wow. How many do you have?
They got to be active so they can step up their game.
Yeah, maybe that's it. They're just like, if we say something crazy.
Yeah, it works. Maybe we'll get new there's this guy in beer that we hate and can't stand, and everybody just hates him, but he has like 10,000 followers now because he says all this stupid crap.
So he's just he's like a hater, and people are like, we got to follow him.
I got to follow him to see what he says.
That's a Howard Stern effect, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anyway, go look at that. Make comments to them. What else? Is there good news? Is there anything awesome that happened?
There's a lot of, you know, restaurant retail stuff that's
cool. Oh yeah. There's some good stuff that has happened recently. So one is the opening of Detention, which is the billiard spot took over the old Blockbuster.
The old Blockbuster that's supposed to be haunted, I've heard.
No,
I think Michael from WeirdFresno.com.
Michael Banty.
He told me that once. There's like an upstairs there. There's like a loft.
Okay,
or
maybe.
And that's people have said that's haunted up there. But
okay.
But well, yeah, we'll that's that thing's out. Been there forever, and that was a spot I in my dream business I wanted to open the Fresnan restaurant.
Whoa! I had never heard Fresnan. This. Uh-huh.
And it would have all these Fresno, you know, it would be like if you've ever been to that restaurant that has it's the animal themed and it's got all the animatronic animals and stuff.
What
the hell is this called? It's down at Disneyland.
Yeah, Rio. Brazil. It's like a Brazilian
it's jungle.
Theme. Yeah, it's a jungle theme. Yeah, elephant. No. Anyway, yeah.
But
yeah, I know.
You know, but it was like that. There. But it's all
eight.
It's all Fresno stuff.
Oh, and so there would be like William animatronic.
Yeah,
William
every Florida. Area of the restaurant he has would, like a Fresno.
He would read a,
yeah, Sororian would read off, like, every 20 minutes, the Sororian guy would turn on and be like, read off something from one of his books.
Right. Sounds great.
And there would be, like, a Bubba area.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Hey, would he'd be in this heat of the night gear, I assume?
Yep. He'd be, like, arresting somebody. Every 15 minutes, the Bubba animatronic arrests somebody. Or he's on the radio, weird. Like just right. doing, or maybe just Bubba live. He's just sitting
right.
in the corner.
He just sits there every day. You get,
hey, how you doing?
This sounds so.
Oh, Josh, how you doing there, Josh?
So this was your idea for a restaurant. It never happened.
And yeah, sadly. I've never got the funding.
Right.
For some reason.
Which is odd. Yeah. I mean, see, I had never heard
about
it.
I think I would have got some, you know, a builder or a farmer or something that has all the money in Fresno.
Right.
Because developers and farmers are the only ones with the big cash in Fresno.
Yeah, well, I never knew about it. Otherwise, I would have.
Well, you would have helped, you know, $20.
I should have started. Whatever I had, you should have started Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
GoFundMe or something. Anyway, so your
so
restaurant
now, there's a new
that
pool,
wasn't in there.
There's a new pool.
New
place.
Pool hall.
Babylon is now over there,
right.
basically.
Used to be the Babylon, and now it is this place, and seems to be really cool. So I've yet to be there, go down there, because that's just the way that my life has worked out. But mm-hmm. Lots of people have.
I didn't know it was open
it's
yet.
It's a pretty
cool
place. Yeah, yeah. So opened, I think, last week or a couple weeks ago. Everything's a couple weeks ago in my time. So that could be a month ago. Yep. It could be yesterday.
You never know.
A couple weeks ago. Anyway, so that's opened. You should go down there and check it out if you like pool especially. But they also are supposed to have a really good happy hour. And a very decent drinks. They're supposed to do really kind of cool craft cocktails and the like. So, yeah. The second one, this is very exciting for me, is this place, Rio. They do these berry bowls. What is it? IKEA?
Yeah.
ACAI? Is it ACAI?
Something like
that. Is that how you spell it? So this is this berry.
Aki-aki.
But they also have poke, whatever that is. So it's a new place. It opened in the old Iron Bird Cafe spot.
Yay, finally.
Down here on Fulton, right. So
somebody's in there.
Yeah, what used to be the old Iron Bird Cafe and later again the Iron Bird Cafe is now this new berry bowl place. So they have it's all like fresh, natural, good food. These berries are supposed to be like a super fruit. Or superfood.
The kind of stuff that low-income housing people would eat, or is that what?
No, because they couldn't. They could not afford it. They could not afford it, sadly. But but anyway, it opened just the other day, actually. I think on July 1st, I went in there and it was really good. I enjoyed it. I was actually going to go there today, but I think it's closed for the 4th, 4th of July. So I'm waiting eagerly for it to open again, and I think, you know.
And then there's downtown spot.
It's in my area, which is very nice, and they have food that I'm all about, you know, like rice with vegetables and like tuna. That sounds great to me. So, and then they have these bowls, which are kind of hard to explain, but and then. Have smoothies and other stuff like that. So very excited that's going to be opening. I suggest everyone get down there and at least try it once so that they will hopefully stay open for a while. So there you go. Because I would hate to see, and I kind of think this might be the case, that Ironbirds, that's just one of those spots, you know, Fresno has them, where nothing can survive. So, speaking of, did we talk about also the Republican closing down?
No, we haven't. I think that happened since
the last one. Because that's another, that downtown club spot seems like it might be another one.
There's just these spots that just don't, they got bad mojo or something. Yeah. I don't know. There's several of them in town. That one luckily turned into a non-restaurant business on Shaw and West. There was that spot that was – it was kept going through different restaurants. So it would just keep closing in it. And it finally went to like a First Five or something like that place.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, good. I was like, stop. Right. Stop trying to get restaurants to work there.
Well, I felt the same way. So there's the Theater 3 building that's down here on Fulton, and it's been shuttered up for years.
Oh,
it's right in that
cool
that whole Met area. Well, they finally reopened, and I think JSA, one of the advertising agencies, is now in there.
Oh, okay.
And at first I was like, man, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. You know? Yeah, you can't just go in there and just like check it out.
Right. But, hey, it's someone in the building.
Right.
They're using it again, and it really looks nice. They've really done, you know, they've opened it up and the whole thing.
Is it a theater for a play, historically for plays, or was
it actually
a movie?
I believe that it was like a theater house for plays is what they had been doing.
So there wasn't
it was like that.
A
it was that kind
there,
of.
Like
no, it wasn't like a movie theater. No, it was. I think that might have been the. There was a. I think there was a theater company, and maybe it was the Theater 3 is what it was called. I don't know, but anyway, yeah, I think they did theater there and the like, but it's been closed since I've.
Yeah, I'd never seen
here,
it open.
I think so. Yeah. But it is open now. You can drive by. You can see people working in there. And
they probably let you come in and go, ooh.
Maybe, yeah. I'll go at the wonderfulness of it.
They need a copywriter.
Yeah, right. They might. Is there anything? What else? Any other openings?
There are. Well, maybe we should take a music break. So, what's next?
So, band of the episode. Yeah. So this is the band of the episode. I'm excited about this. This is a great band that I sort of stumbled on because of my job, but also kind of been following. So, you remember? I would assume Poor Man's Poison.
Yes,
they were kind of bluegrass.
Making some noise.
Yeah, and they won that Pepsi Cola mm-hmm. challenge. They won $100,000 or something, some kind of crazy thing, and then just kind of disappeared for a while. Well, the one of the guys in the band, Ryan Dean, is back. He has a new group, and they are called Russian Money, and they play kind of a blues. They're kind of a blues rock southern rock blues band. Really cool. They have an album out. They haven't been around that long, but they have an album out. They already have a license and deal for it, and they're like really pushing hard. And they're one of these bands. You know, I think Poor Man's Poison was operated at such a high level that I think this guy understands what it takes, like from a business perspective, to do the things that you want to do in a band. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what's gonna come with it, come of it. So Russian Money, here it is.
You can hear them playing up the street, people all dancing to the quarter beat. Parade on its way out of town to lay another lost soul down. You can see them coming far and wide, some of them singing, some of them crying. A jazz funeral on its way to give a body to the grave. Somebody died today. Somebody died today. Somebody died. Listen to the city sing about life and death and everything between, about the way it was and the way it'll be on the day we meet the king. So listen close and you might hear a solitary trumpet drop a single tear. You see, life was given and taken away, and now we sadly celebrate. Somebody died today. I don't even know his name, but somebody died today. Now the people got a reason to pray. Somebody died today. I don't even know his name, but somebody died today. And now the band's got a reason to play. Somebody died.
There it was.
Yeah, cool stuff, bro.
Yeah, it was really good, and just cool guys, cool music. I really like everything about them. So. Okay. What was the?
Well, I don't know.
That was a prelude to whatever we were gonna. The tease. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we've talked about. It's been up for a few months now, I think. But I don't think we've talked about Pine and Palm Brewery.
Oh, we have not. No.
Up there, it's in right now. It's in the industrial park, the older industrial park area behind north
Bellagio.
Of, yeah. North of Pinedale, or basically Pinedale.
Yeah,
that industrial park that's south of Knees.
Right,
and
between Knees and Blackstone, behind, essentially. Yeah,
behind the hardware place now that I Lowe's whole area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's back in there. It's in one of those industrial buildings, and it's a new brewery in Fresno, and he is rumored to be looking at a downtown spot.
Whoa! To open up a tap room. Okay. So, that would be awesome. Have you been?
I haven't been yet, but I've had the beer.
Because they have
Nick from the Perfect Pour. He goes there kind of regularly, and he's brought some of his beer, and he's doing good for right out of the gate brewer. He definitely has potential, and I kind of like the theme and stuff.
Right,
it's got it's that pine. Cause it's kind of funny how Tioga recently rebranded their 99 golden ale, and they got cans of it now.
Right,
but also they use the palm and the palm tree on 99.
Oh, okay,
that's north of town in between here and Madera.
And it's supposed to be the center of California.
The center of California.
Somewhere.
Yeah. The pine represents the Southern California, Northern California. The palm tree represents Southern California. And you see it there in the medium when you're going in between Madera and Fresno. And that's what that is. And so 99 Gold Nail is using that as its logo for that. But that's what Pine and Palm uses as well.
That's really cool.
And so it's a very local themed place. And I'm kind of excited for them.
Do they have normal kind of hours?
He's like, I think Wednesdays and Sundays are his days where he's usually open. And then Fridays, I think he started doing Fridays too, where he'll have a food truck out there. He just had Dusty Buns out there last Friday.
Awesome.
So if you look at him, usually he has a Facebook page and a Instagram. And he's usually pretty good on the Instagram about, you know, hey, we're open today, blah, blah, blah. So I think it might be Pine and Palm on Instagram. But
awesome. So you definitely have to check out
another beer thing. Well, besides that, Poplo's is about to open. The 9th. Poplo's is back. Oh, my God. I can't wait to report back from that.
Yeah.
But also, me and Ed's on board in West.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah,
reimagining.
Reopened.
And it's got first time in Fresno. First place in Fresno.
Beer.
Self-service tap.
Well, now, here's the thing. According to Chuck Leonard, there has been self-serve beer in Fresno before.
Where?
He says that this place, Intimos. But I think it wasn't like this kind of self-serve. It was just like, hey, Intimos. Here's a tab.
Somebody's house? No, there's been self-service before.
It's a bar.
Somebody's kegerator.
It's an old bar down I think it's off Weber or something like that. But I definitely don't think it was like set up like this. But I think it was like, you know, they kind of maybe on the honor system. Maybe it wasn't even beer. Maybe it was wine or something. I don't know. Anyway. So this is the future, man.
Maybe.
This is the future, and it's awesome.
Yeah, what happens is you go in, you know, you order your stuff like you normally do in there, and you say, okay,
your pizza.
Yeah. And then you say, also, I want a drink. And they're like, okay. And they, you know, card you, and they take a card to run a tab, you know, keep a tab. So basically, if you're going to drink, you're opening up a tab.
Okay.
So now you've got, you know, your card there on tab, and they link that up to your wristband.
Okay.
And they give you a wristband
a
magic wristband with a chip in it.
This is how I've heard them described.
Yeah, and you pick out a glass, and you look for which beer you want, and you put the band up to a certain spot on the tap. And that gives you a green light and lets you know, all right, you can start pouring now, and you pour just like out like you're at a soda fountain. Instead, it's a beer fountain.
And you get it's 32 ounces is the limit,
an hour,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, an hour?
Every hour. And then you can – and if you come to a point where you're like, I want a game drink, and you can go and – you know, say basically you got to check in with them,
right,
they can see whether you're shit faced or not.
So they can go, no, sir, you are okay. All right, interesting.
And the cool thing is, you can just get tasters of stuff. You don't have to buy a whole beer. You can just get a little bit.
Well, so my boss was very she thought that was the weird, like, because they were sort of touting that. It's like, oh, you could taste, and she's like, most bars will give you free tasters of
that's
things.
That's true.
So
that's
why true. Would you, you know, which makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, I think it sounds really cool. And it looks really awesome.
I don't know if I would ever... Bartenders on the Perfect Pour not liking the system because in their minds, one, it takes away a bartender, and two, that it's not as sanitary because you're just having random people using the taps instead of trained bartenders, which
right.
I think they had a point. But in this particular place, me and Ed's, they actually have a person there sort of running that area.
Oh, okay.
That they didn't have before. So, in essence,
they hired
me and Ed's. There's actually an extra person that wasn't there before.
Oh, so they actually hired a new person.
Yeah.
So
there is a person that sort of oversees the beer part
to make sure the taps get.
So in this particular
to make sure
case,
they get changed if they needed.
He helps out, right? If people because everyone's kind of it's new, so everyone's like, "Well,
I had a problem
getting the thing started at one time." So
I mean, you've been?
Yeah.
What's the selection like?
It's pretty good. It's not, you know, I'm being a snobby beer geek, you know, it's be pretty hard to impress me, but it's good. It's solid. It's solid.
Okay.
It's,
okay.
You know, it's very much how you would expect to please the masses kind of taps going on.
So it's like a C plus in your book.
Yeah, C plus.
Cool.
But the
that was a really big thing, and they say that if it does well, or probably not even, they'll expand it. I think out into Clovis at least.
Yeah.
And it seems like it would do really well in Clovis, so that's what I think.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's a fun little change. I wouldn't want it at all my bars. It does get kind of annoying to keep getting up. You know, I like to have, if I'm going to go out to a restaurant, I more usually like to have a waiter or waitress so I don't
have to
get up at all. But it's kind of a cool thing on the for just something different.
Yeah. It's definitely a new, and it probably did exactly what they wanted it to do, which was give me and Ed a lot of press.
Yeah.
For, you know, so,
and I know,
you know,
it's been packed
Fresno B was talking about it. Yeah. We were talking, you know, so from just strictly a standpoint of getting people in the doors.
And I know, and
ding, ding, ding.
And well, it's the first week, but so it's always anything new in Fresno, the first week is just a madhouse, but. That's my me and Ed, my normal regular me and Ed's, and we went on Saturday at 1 in the afternoon, which is usually there's, you know, one person in there, it was packed. So
wow, okay, I mean, well there you go.
So far, so good for
them. Yeah, cool. All right, well, what else is there? Anything?
What else?
I can't think. You know,
there's
a
whole thing. I don't know if I want to get into it or not.
Oh.
Maybe save it for next month. But
we'll tease
it. The whole Bullard.
Because maybe I want to talk
about it. Yeah, the whole. I don't know if you saw this Bullard graduate that did an op-ed piece, put it in the B.
Right.
I don't know if you call it an op-ed piece. What was
it,
a feature?
It was a Valley Voices.
Valley Voices.
Maybe is technically what they call it. But it was an op-ed written by a. Someone in the community.
Yeah, this is the actual Bullard student who he's one of the valedictorians.
Right.
And they basically, you know, asked all the valedictorians to submit a speech, and, you know, they can only pick two or three or something. Or
the
one.
School, right, yeah. For the commencement speech.
One, yes.
Yeah,
and
the graduation speech.
Yes,
yeah.
And his didn't get picked.
Right.
And so he was like, well, I didn't get picked because I had some critical things to say.
Right.
And he did. And some things that were, I think he had good points about, and I agree. Me speaking as a Bullard High kid who now has moved back into the Bullard High area specifically because I have a child and I wanted her to go through that system. I didn't want to bail out and go up north to Clovis or whatever. But, so I have, you know, particular interest in this. This is more interesting to me than it would be, I assume, somebody that didn't go to Bullard.
Right.
And so he had a lot of critical things to say about Bullard. And
so, and going back, the piece that was in the Bee was originally portrayed as his the speech.
Right. He, you know, this he is said, the one this he submitted.
The, right. But this is the speech. Right. But yeah, so he submitted it saying that this is the speech I was going to give that the school turned down, essentially.
Yeah. And then the school said no. He actually turned in a different one than you guys saw.
Right.
And the point is that I could see why they turned it down because it was so negative. But, right. You know, his point is, well, you know, you guys are turning me down because I'm being negative. And
I'm speaking the truth.
Yeah. And their point was, you know what? This is a fun, you know, this is supposed to celebrate everyone. And maybe we don't all want to hear your agenda.
Yeah, we don't want to hear you bitching. Yeah.
So I definitely see both sides, and I would sort of fall on what Bullard did, which would be like, you know, there's a time and place for this, and maybe this isn't the place.
Right.
But the kid had some good points. And
oddly enough, though, the kid found the right place for it, which was like in the newspaper. Yeah,
exactly. You know? So, it kind of ended up being in a better spot than it would have if he would have done the speech, because I don't know that I would have gotten
the reach that it did.
And the kid has some good points and some things that the superintendent needs to be aware of, and just the residents, Fresno residents, and be aware of. But also, it was just so negative. The only thing really positive about it was he was touting one of his teachers as being, you know, really respected one of his teachers. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, was just basically ripped the school. And but he's going to Stanford, which according to Mark Arax, which is now Intermark Arax, who is a family friend of this kid, and who has been legendary as taking pot shots at Fresno.
And specifically Bullard.
Yes. Yeah. And he's a LA Times writer still, right?
I do not believe that is the case. Or if he is, it's on a freelance basis.
I don't know what he's doing now, but he's an author and famous Fresno.
Written several native. Books. Was a Los Angeles LA Times writer. Yeah,
yeah. And he was, you know, backing up the kid, saying, you know, Bullard should have let him speak.
Right.
And you know, he's going to Stanford, and he's saying, you know, Mark Erickson is saying Stanford's the most toughest school to get in the country.
Right.
But the Bullard system put this kid in position to go to Stanford.
Right.
So I don't see how you're ripping the school that you're going to the best school in the country because of the Bullard system.
Right. Well, it sounds a little bit to me like, you know, and I kind of we've seen this before with kind of, and Fresno's not a small town, but small towns where like smart kids, real smart kids who are very driven kind of tend to have a crappy time in high school just because high school is crappy for smart kids. And so when they are getting ready to leave, then it's like they have something to prove maybe, or they, you know, and that's just kind of what comes out. I think you're 100% right. Like, how bad can the school be if you are going to Stanford? So
so I like his passion about I feel like, you know, he wants Bullard to be better, so I definitely respect that.
Right.
The especially same side, there wasn't much respect on his side about he was providing this education.
Right. True. Yeah. That was a good story, actually. I saw that sort of playing out. I didn't follow it as deeply because I don't really have close ties to Bullard, but yeah. People can go to Fresno Bee and check all that out.
I'll link to that.
Yeah,
Hold me up to that. I'll put it in the show link. So,
cool. Well, is there anything else?
I think I might be.
I think we might be getting close to the plug it up. So I'll let you go ahead and start. Who would you like to plug and or recommend for? For this month?
Please keep reading the Fresnan, thefresnan.com.
Oh yeah,
monthly, very good weekly blog.
Weekly,
every
weekly
Tuesday,
blog.
New post at least.
The very brilliant least. Stuff. Brilliant stuff.
And also the other podcasts in our network. Dorktown comedy podcast.
Remind us again, Dorktown. Yeah,
the lovely producer Becky and the legendary Bells.
Legendary,
and also the Perfect Pour craft beer podcast with Nick and the Matt Napolitano.
The brothers.
Matt runs the beer garden at Tioga,
right?
Bearded one. And Nick is the legendary drummer of Trumpet Solo.
Trumpet Solo, who I saw Reed of Trumpet Solo, Reed May, one time, Flowing with Famous producer, was in town and doing some stuff and got over to the studio and was able to see the mixing console that was once at the heart of
mixing board is now
of it all,
our mixing board. And Reed was asking me this, we had a conversation. I might actually try and isolate it and play it next time I'm flowing, because I always ask him about the early days of Flowing with Famous, and how much was him, how much was Jarrah, how much was Mike. And he's trying to ask, is there anybody that listened to us, us being Reed, Jarrah, and Mike, still listen to Flowing? I could think of maybe a couple people.
There might be a
besides
couple.
Besides me.
Yeah. possibly Ed Stewart.
Yeah.
I would think Ed Stewart might have been around.
But that's, that was 12 years ago.
That's almost it.
11 and a half or something.
And you, yeah. I'm sure there are. And in fact, we'll put that out there.
That is out there.
Anyone,
if you are a Flowing with Famous listener that listened to the old days when Jarrah and Malcolm Sosa hosted, Reed was engineering, contact us.
Let us know. Yeah. And we'll put you on the show.
Yeah. Or if you don't want to be on, just let us know. I'm still here. It was way better.
And it was so right. It was so much better.
So much better.
Cool. Anything else to recommend or?
And Gomp, get off my podcast.
Harrison Ford podcast. Harrison Ford podcast. How's that coming? What are you talking about?
Our last one we did. If you ever wanted to have a commentary for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
We did a director's commentary for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
So you can actually play it, at this specific time and we're
and
just
listen
talking
to you
over
guys.
Yeah.
Oh man, because that sounds like the exact
oh,
thing
you wanted to, you
that
wanted
I would be.
Next time for. You watch Raiders.
Yeah, that doesn't sound actually too bad. Maybe I'll try that.
Yeah. Well, what the hell have you been doing?
So, I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com and, tell people if they're interested in Fresno happenings, they should really check that out. Especially my band Geek Post, which is
a
definitive. I say it's the definitive collection.
I challenge anyone to
a definitive
have a better spot.
List of Fresno concerts, and I put that out once a week. And it's a lot of work, and I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people are still under the assumption that there's not a whole lot happening in Fresno, and I am here to say that is incorrect.
What's the big show coming up in July? What's July's big show?
Well, Pitbull is coming up at Save Mart Center. I think that'll be a very big show. That's next week, I think. This band Joy Formidable is playing a little later in the month. That'll be
Joy Formidable.
They're a Welsh pop band. Really, they're pretty good. They played here. They played down in Visalia a couple months back, and are returning. James Taylor also coming to the Save Mart Center. So there's a couple.
Is that going to be like the full configuration?
I don't think so, but maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Just don't. I mean, James Taylor is obviously a legendary performer, but the whole arena?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. If I had to assume, I would think that that would be one of the shows that they set up like on the smaller scale. But I could be wrong. I don't know. So those two shows are coming up there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else happening at any of the other places. I think those are kind of the big ones. Fulton 55, I'm trying to think if they have. I'm sure they do. They're going to have some different things coming through. But, you know, you can week to week just go to FresnoBeehive.com.
FresnoBeehive.com.
And you can find all of it. All of it.
And I recommend getting the Friday paper and the Sunday paper. Definitely the most informative and ones I like the most, especially Sunday paper. But Friday's your column in it. So
So I'll plug that. I would also plug my band. It'll Grow Back. We don't have a whole lot coming up. We just had a show. So we don't have a lot coming up for a while, but we're on Facebook and Instagram, or I'm sorry, Twitter, if you want to check us out, follow us, like us, all that good stuff. And yeah, I think that's it. That's probably good enough for now. I think that makes me happy. I'll leave it there.
Yay.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be it for us. People can find us and follow us on all of the social media outlets.
Well, Twitter.
Oh, just Twitter. Yeah.
Well, us personally. All of them. But no, what's your handle on Twitter?
Twitter is Joshua Teehee, I think. And Instagram's the same. Josh Teehee.
The Fresnan.
On Facebook. Yeah.
The Fresnan.
The Fresnan. So follow, like us, all that good stuff.
Wait, you let regular people on your Facebook?
Oh yeah,
you like my cause in that way?
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't.
I guess I should. I probably shouldn't do that, should I?
I don't. Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you haven't had to block anyone.
Yeah, there's been some people, but yeah. I actually don't like. I have. There's tons of people that want.
You're pretty loose. Like, it'd be hard. It'd be hard to get blocked by
a lot of people. Send me requests, and I kind of just don't accept them. So, if you are one of these people, I'm sorry. If you see me in person, tell me, hey, accept my friend request, damn. Yeah. Then I'll do it.
Say it like that. Don't.
Yeah. 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 Like, hey, make that boy. Hey, come here. Accept my friend request. All right. Well, that is it. We're going to be done. I will count us out. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Who's Becky just rolled